So after that embrace was released and the first words of revelation were given, he ran down the mountain, trembling, shuddering. He was terrified. He didn't know what had happened. And he ran the entire distance back into his town of Mecca, back into his home. He was married to Khadija, his beloved wife. And she's said to be the first one who recognized him. So she's called the first also believer. And he said, cover me, cover me. And she took his mantle and she covered him. And for a long time he lay there under his cloak, simply trembling and shaking. And then when she felt that she could approach him, she approached him and asked him what happened. And then he told her what had happened. And when he told her what had happened, she confirmed him as the prophet. She told him of a dream that she had had, that the full moon had appeared in the sky. This is in her dream. And she's gazing out of her window. And as she's gazing at the moon comes, and it comes into her house and comes into her lap, into her arms. And she had the dream interpreted, and it was said by her uncle, who was a Christian, a blind Christian, and a wise man, a sage. And he said, this is the prophet who will be sent in these times, and you will be his wife. And so she confirmed that for him, and that brought him some ease. And her presence, her own wisdom and knowledge, in a way, is what guided him into peace. So this is the coming of the first revelation. This is Zikr, this is the great Zikr. And that revelation continued for 23 years. Until it formed and collected into this ocean called Holy Quran, Book of Revelation. That is Zikr. All the holy books are Zikr. All the sacred texts are Zikr. This is Allah's Zikr, Allah speaking to the human heart. So, as I said, with a touch, a drop of this awe, we enter the sacred circle of Zikr, and we then enter the cave of light of our heart, and we close our eyes and go into silence and feel simply this presence of the divine light beginning to rise in our hearts. And as we begin speaking, the first words enunciated is a praise to the Prophet Muhammad himself. It's called salawat. We praise him. And Sheikh Muzaffar said, we begin with the praise because his light was the first to open creation. And again, and I use the knowledge and the words of this tradition, the Islamic mystical Sufi tradition, but it applies to all the traditions. The Christians call it logos, the first word, the first intelligence. And interestingly enough, there's also in the Islamic Sufi tradition, the first intelligence is also used. It's called the pen. And it writes the words dictated by Allah Most High on the tablet, the pristine tablet of primordial creation, of the essence of creation. But this pen is pure light. So we praise his being, and by praising his being, we praise Allah, and we praise the human being. So we praise the mirror. We praise the one who gazes into the mirror. And this begins the zikr. So this is the zikr. The zikr is this love between the source and its own form, its own manifestation, its own essence. And then we will have sometimes I recite our silsila. Silsila is like the chain from heart to heart, to heart to heart. As again, as Pirzir was saying so beautifully last night, this is the chain of light that that is the Sufi path, that is the Sufi community. And one heart lights another heart, just like one candle will light another candle. So one heart opens another heart. It's mysterious how that happens. It's simply like the light that leaps from heart to heart, or the love that leaps from heart to heart. So I sometimes recite verbally our silsila, which is our own mystic saints from this order, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to all the prophets, peace be upon them all, to Adam and Eve, I begin with Adam and Eve, mother and father of humanity, to include this entire creation. So this entire creation is present at every zikr. So again, as I said at the beginning, the drop contains the ocean. A drop of zikr contains all the zikr that has ever appeared, has ever been recited, consciously or unconsciously, since the beginning of this creation, is contained in each zikr circle. And then, after reciting that, we sing a hymn. And that hymn contains the praise, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And each La ilaha illallah of that hymn, we ascend to a higher level of being, a more encompassing level. So higher is not what is separated from earth. Higher is the more inclusive. As you know, if you go up in a mountain or a hill, even, or the top of your house, or an airplane, or the spaceships, if we've seen photos, then more and more is included in your gaze, where our gaze is limited if we're stuck in the little tiny corner of our own perspective. So this inclusiveness grows, and this vastness grows with each La ilaha illallah. And then we begin, then everyone begins chanting La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, this primordial zikr, chanted by the primordial light, the Nur Muhammad. And essentially, only the one being exists, La ilaha illallah. No realities apart from the one reality alone has existed, does exist, or will ever exist. La ilaha illallah. Inwardly, Muhammad Rasulullah, we chant, although we don't say it out loud during the zikr, but we keep it in the heart. So they mesh together. They are part of the same. Two faces of the same. La ilaha illallah, transcendent reality, alone exists. Muhammad Rasulullah, the manifest being through the human form, manifest creation, is the principle of this one being, is the perfect vessel of this one being. So we chant this until we might chant it 165 times together. Sometimes we chant 313 or 333 times, depending. We'll see tonight. It's usually something spontaneous that comes. And while I'm chanting, there are the nightingale sings. So there is the both. There's always the chant and the response. We never praise without being praised. Allah says, remember me and I will remember you. So this is the mystical duality of creation. There is no duality, really. But the duality is simply for the divine pleasure, for the sake of love, for the sake of knowledge. So all the attributes can be manifested. So as we chant La ilaha illallah, comes in the voice of, you might say, of love itself. Chanting again, it can be calling the silsila, will be calling the divine names. Ali Rahman, my husband, begins that chant, and then usually we pass it to other nightingales in a circle. And then we have a pause. After la 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 la, we will stop for a moment. And so maybe this pause is like the hiatus, the bursting forth of the primordial light. And then that gap. And Sheikh Noor would say that for the mystic, it's all in the gap. It's all in the empty space. So the gaps are extremely important. As we know, as we're looking into our own form and into the atoms, we see more and more empty space. This is where it really happens, in the empty space. Once a form is there, it's already occurred, you might say, but the potential is in the emptiness. So, but in that pause, there is a pause. And in that pause, sometimes we will then chant a Holy Quran or another mystic hymn of love. And then from there, we go into Allah, the chant Allah, Allah, Allah. And at first, we are chanting Allah. In a sense, we're invoking the Beloved to come and be in our circle, to reveal herself or himself. And Allah contains both, her manifestation and the him manifestation. That Allah is said to contain. What makes the name Allah so powerful contains all the divine names, every name that has ever been used to designate or ever will be used to designate that supreme being is in the name Allah. So although some are, kind of taken aback if one refers to Allah as she, normally we use the word he, the divine pronoun he or who, but the she is completely applicable also. So it depends. This whole thing is between the lover and the beloved. So it's not any form imposed from the outside. It's not any ideology or program. It's all the movement of love as the heart opens and speaks love to its beloved. So whatever form that takes, it's the shepherd. You might know the story of the shepherd and Moses. I'm not sure. But the shepherd was a very simple being who adored his Lord and saw his Lord as an actual being. And so Moses was the magnificent prophet of God and saw Allah in all the transcendent form. But he came one day upon the shepherd and overheard the shepherd speaking to God in the most unusual way. And he was astounded when he heard the shepherd say to God, "Come, my God, my pretty one, my beloved, I want to comb your hair, I want to caress you, I want to tie your shoes." And Moses couldn't bear it. And he burst in on the privacy of the shepherd's dialogue with his Lord and said, "How dare you speak to God this way? God is not in form. God is the magnificent light. God is formless." So then the shepherd went, the shepherd all of a sudden felt so much shame and sorrow and repentance, and he ran off. And then, but then the Lord of all the universes turns and speaks to Moses and says, "How dare you speak to my beloved that way?" He was addressing me in his own language. And I love that. It's dear to me. This is my joy. He said, "Go find my shepherd and bring him back." And so, but of course the shepherd had ran so fast. He was so ashamed and he had hid. So it was a journey for Moses to go and find him. But he found him, and when he found him, he embraced him and said, "I'm so sorry, my dear friend." He said, "You were right, Allah is also like this. God is also like this." And the shepherd himself said, "Well, you opened my heart, to a whole other manifestation and realm of Allah that I had not known." So, alhamdulillah, the two came together. So the shepherd, we are mostly the shepherds. That's what we are. The shepherds doing their zikr You know, but we call for Moses to be there. We call for Jesus to be there, for Mary to be there, Mariam, for Miriam, the sister of Moses. We call for Fatima, the enlightened, the radiant, to be there. We call on all the great beings to be there, to open the hearts of us as shepherds to the greater dimensions of truth. So Allah, we are invoking Allah, 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 Allah. And then as we invoke Allah, we realize, and as this limited being begins to pass away, we realize that it is only Allah calling Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. The one alone is praising itself through our tongues, through our bodies. We are the vessels, but only the one is praising. We are no longer praising. There is no separate being that can praise the one. So we continue in this way, Allah, 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 until we melt into this ocean of Allah, ocean of resonance. And then Allah merges into Hu, the divine name, Hu, which has been called the divine pronoun, the he, or the she, the who, or the divine breath, who. So this is, again, as we said, in this biological frame, the breath is that current, is that stream of praise, who, who, who. It is the essence beyond all attributes. Who, who, who. So everything, the la ilaha illallah, the Allah, all realms of praise, all forms and perspectives of praise stream back into the source, into who, who, back into the essence, back home. All manifestation comes back home into the one heart. Who. And then, as who has taken us over, there again, I offer a short prayer of light. It's called the prayer of light. It's the prayer that the Prophet recited to ask for the one light to transform us entirely into light, for us to become the light within light, it's called. So instead of being opaque, instead of being obstacles or resistance to the divine reality, the divine being, instead of being like its shadows, we become its light. And we are the light within the light. And we go ever deeper into that light, into that uncreated light. So I'll offer that prayer. And then we stand up and we form the standing zikr circle. And as we stand, we, from the center of the circle, we will chant usually a slow chant, a slow hymn that is somehow has the tone of this beginning of creation, this solemnity. And it was Sheikh Muzaffar and who elucidated some of the forms of the zikr. He said, so the entire zikr is like a cosmic story of creation. It's the form of creation, as it represents the entire creation on all levels of being praising Allah. So also, in a sense, through cosmic time, it travels. And as we said, the first begins with the praise. The first is that silence in the cave of revelation, or even more in the beginning, the primordial hiddenness. And then from there, we come forth, and beginning with the praise of the Prophet. And then from there, as we said, then we have the la ilaha illallah, Allahu. From there we stand up. And this is where it's said that the zikr represents the coming into the earth, into human form, where the spirits came into human body. And there are different accounts of that, because the spirits didn't want to inhabit a human body. We could close the windows, I think, or at least some of them. It's a little chill. So Hazrat Inayat Khan has used the beautiful example of music and said that, you know, Allah chanted or made some kind of musical sound to call the spirits into the bodies. Others have said that Allah intoxicated the spirits. Well, music is a form of intoxication, of course. It's a form of forgetting our earthly self and awakening to our divine self. So whichever we choose to think of, the spirits take human form. And this is represented as we stand and say, who, who, who. We will move around the circle, chanting who again, signifying again the breath, the Holy Spirit coming into the human body. And we will move slowly in that way. And from the inner circle, we will chant, some of the singers, we will begin chanting and singing to the spirits so that they come in, so that the spirits enter the body. And then the zikr will pick up in tempo. And then from the divine name Hu, we move to Hai. Hai, the alive one, divine life itself. The one who makes us alive, the one who shares life with us, Hai. And then you will be asked to chant Hai as you move around, rhythmically. Hai, 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 Hai. So that you will realize, again, once the spirit has entered the body, then the awakening of that spirit to realize that the body is not a prison as we think it is. So the spirit and body are like two opposites. And to the spirit, the body is like a tiny cage when its own realm is vast, limitless, pure being. But once inside the body comes the words of divine revelation, just like they came to Adam and Eve. And then the revelation says, essentially, I am here too. I am this realm. This entire creation is nothing but myself. So rejoice. Don't be sad. Don't feel separate. So this is the high. So this makes the spirits alive and that they rejoice in their life, in this realm, in this earthly realm. Hi. And more Allahis will be chanted. And then different, slightly different names will be used, but all really containing the Hai. Sometimes Hai combined with Allah, sometimes just Hai. And then it builds to a certain pitch of intensity, just like the lover. The lover's heart builds to a pitch of intensity in calling on Allah, in seeking Allah, in longing for Allah. And then that it culminates in our zikr, it will kind of culminate in what we call the topu bedawi. And it's the, again, meeting, coming to the point again, that primordial sphere. And we will gather, everyone will be gathered together, and we will... At that point, we start going up and down vertically. So we've gathered from all corners of creation, and we come together into this point. And there, this dot, this one place, this one heart, begins pulsating and rising rhythmically, and up and down, up and down, up and down. And we'll chant at that point, and the chanting will grow more intense, and the drum beat will grow more intense. The drum beat is like the heartbeat, or it's like the call. So what guides, in a way, the rhythm, the tempo of the zikr on an outer level. Inwardly, it's guided by the spirits of the peers. And then there will be that, it's really like reaching union with the beloved at that point. And then again, like a deep, almost like a deep sigh of love, and a deep quiet, a deep peace enters the zikr circle. And we might stand in silence for some moment, or we begin chanting again very softly and usually slowly. And then we will move into another form. It could be two lines, rows of lines. It could be at that point we start whirling, often at that point. I ask the dervishes to begin turning around their own axis, around their own Kaaba, around their own beloved. And then we will have more chanting. The whirl is a supreme form of worship and of lovers. So, but the entire thing is whirling. Even as we step, as we chant, it's all whirling. As we sit chanting La ilaha illallah, our head moves back and forth from the right shoulder toward the heart. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Inwardly, response, Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The entire thing is whirling and chanting and zikring. And then the zikr concludes at some point with the reversing the circle. And again, the reversing the circle is, it said, the end of time, like the souls re-entering the realms of paradise and the realms beyond paradise. It's the return. So we reverse it. So it's no longer the, as we go into the earth, it's the clockwise circle. And as we go from the earth back into the source and into leaving the bodies, the spirits returning to the spirit realm, it's the counterclockwise movement. And then usually the zikr concludes, and then again we'll have names, Hayu l'Kayyum, again the life, the one life, the living and the source of life, the foundation of life, the self-manifesting, the one who dwells in itself, in himself, in herself. And then the zikr is concluded, and we conclude with a fatiha, with a prayer. And then usually after that, we sit quietly again. We go back into a moment of silence. So I think we've basically reached the first part of our togetherness here. And we can have questions, or we could maybe with the questions also demonstration, if some of you would like, of some of the actual movements and of the zikr itself. But first I'd like to open it up with questions, if any of you have questions. What time is it, first of all? He was executed. You know, we can know the outer of it, but not the inner. He was executed because he was called by divine love to demonstrate love in that way. And so he was chosen as a noble sacrifice to love, to inspire lovers in all future generations, to offer their lives for love. And when I say offer our life for love, it doesn't mean we have to offer it literally, but we offer it inwardly, completely. You know, then we become one with love. And we can't offer it by our own will, just as Halaj, none of this was really his own will. You know, love calls us. Love takes us. Love does what it wills with us, really. So that Halaj was sacrificed was to the glory of love. On the human level, there were many, many reasons, you know, political reasons and religious reasons. So that even such a great one as Junaidi Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, was one of the signatories on the order to allow him to be executed, shows that, you know, it's really in the divine mystery. I mean, Junaid was himself a servant of Allah, complete servant of Allah. He would not have signed that if it not had been divine will that Halaj be executed. And Halaj himself could escape. In fact, that was his demonstration to his students. He could, when they came to visit him in prison, And he showed them how he could open the prison walls. He had that level. That's a, you know, what we might call for the masters of love, that's a minor level of miracle, to be able to go beyond the bounds of space and time. He could have walked out of his jail, but he chose to demonstrate love. He was a willing sacrifice. He wanted it. He wanted to meet his beloved in that way, in the gallows. So when it's said that when he was at the stake and his limbs were chopped off, he put the stump of his limb on his cheek to rub the blood there so his cheeks would be red. He didn't want to go pale. He didn't want to look like he was unwilling. So he was the foremost of those. And if we have any choice at all, and some masters say that we have choice in pre-eternity, the spirits choose their lives. That he chose it then. He chose his destiny. So he's the one who led the way. And it's a great privilege, alhamdulillah. You're greatly blessed to follow in his way, to have that dream. And as I say, you don't need to interpret it literally, just as Abraham, peace be upon him, didn't need to interpret literally the sacrificing of his son. This is what the mystic master Ibn al-Arabi says. It was a dream to be interpreted, but he was ready. That's the whole point. Abraham was ready to give everything, and he gave everything he had for love, for his beloved, and Halaj did. So you may. So you follow in this way of giving everything for love. What's your name? No name. Alhamdulillah. Bless you on this way. Yeah. Yes. It is. It's you might say, learning to take responsibility of the original covenant that we took, it says, in pre-eternity when we said yes. Again, this is part of the magnificent divine drama, you know, part of the great story of love. On an essential level, we could say also, nothing has ever left the source. But in terms of, you know, this story, all the souls in pre-eternity answered when their Lord, our Lord, called us and said, am I not your Lord? Alasta birabikum. Am I not your Lord? And this sentence, this phrase of love, so intoxicated all our souls. That was like the first, you might say, transport of love. And all of our souls cried out without exception, yes, you are our Lord. Yes, that was our answer, yes. So prior to coming into space and time in this creation, we said yes. Every soul, and Sheikh Noor was very adamant about this, without exception, no matter what they did here on earth, said yes. So that responsibility, and it said that responsibility, you know, that's called the covenant. And the trust, the amanah. And it said even the mountains and nothing dared take the trust. Only the human took the trust of Allah to manifest the divine being here in this realm. So yes, it is. But to the paradox is that to really be the place of that trust, we have to lose ourselves first. We can't, you know, fix something. We can't put it together. This is not possible, because whatever we put together will come apart. This is what's called the spider webs, the human invention, the human creation on that level. I'm not speaking of divine creativity as it moves through artists or through beautiful, you know, acts of love or words of truth. I'm not speaking, I'm saying whatever with our mind we try to put together falls apart. So the zikr circle is the place where we lose ourselves, and in losing ourselves, we find the one. And then we find ourselves by finding the one. And yes, then we will know who we are. We will know our responsibility. Not in a conceptual way necessarily, but in a spontaneous way, moment to moment, we will be moved by the hand of love from here to there. You know, our tongue will speak with words that are dictated to it or chanted into our heart, and we'll speak in that way. We'll live in that way. We'll live in the moment. So, but only by losing ourselves. But you're right, the zikr, and that's why it's called also the gallows, it's the place of death. And the prophet, peace be upon his heart, said, die before you die. So when our sister brought up the death, yes, we cannot find the truth before we die. We cannot find what we desire with all our heart before we die and let go. Let go and die. And then we are alive. So it is a place of dying, extinction. But love extinguishes us, you know, for the lovers. We're extinguished by love. Yeah. Oh. Any other question? But it's our intention that counts. It's not how we look or do it or if we get it right. Don't worry about getting it right. It's not at all about that. It's really, again, more about losing ourselves and our intention of love to join the circle of love that, you know, is continuously unfolding beyond space and time and manifests here in space and time. And God willing, will manifest this evening. But don't worry about the form so much. It's simple. Would you like to chant now some of the names? So just you can nod your head if yes or no. Yes? Okay. All right. So La ilaha illallah is the one we begin with. So we move our head from our right shoulder toward the heart. This is the movement. And as I said, it's like a circular movement. La ilaha illallah. So again, in this circle is, you know, the circle of the spheres of the angelic beings around the throne, of pilgrims around the Kaaba, of attributes around the essence. La ilaha illallah. So we start here from our right shoulder. We say la, la. And then as we move, ilaha, illallah. Dropping the head to the heart. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Inwardly, Muhammad Rasulullah. But that might seem like too much at the moment. So let's just do that now in a more continuous fashion. La ilaha illallah. 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 Ali. La ilaha illallah. 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 La ilaha illallah.
la 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 Muhammadun Rasulullah. And now we'll offer Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. Actually, usually I begin the Allah by Allah, Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. And that first part, we don't take a breath. Usually we offer several Allahs, or as many as you can on one breath. If it's difficult, we'll do it Allah, breath by breath. But usually in the very beginning, after we do that, the double, then we go Allah on one breath. Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. Good, yeah. Sheikh Muzaffar said that. Chanting many Allah, the names on one breath is a blessing. It's a sort of empowers the heart. But then at a certain point, then I will say, Allah, and then we all move to one breath, one name. Like, so as we're going, Allah, 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 Allah. Already intoxicated. I do the first. Usually the sheikh or the circle of the leader of the circle leads the first name, that whether it's La ilaha illallah or Allah or who, and then everyone joins. So you can sort of hear it first then. Who notice the who's went up slightly. Have you heard who? And then three times. And then there was elongated, and then it became shorter and more of a rhythmic pulsing. Who, 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 who.